Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Poor people gonna rise up, get their share. People gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the French Connections Tuesday edition. It is on Tuesday, the 13th day of June, 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you with me here today. We got an interview coming up in about, for me, it's about 25 minutes, but I'm going to do a short 10-minute rant here before we go into that and give you an opportunity to understand a few facts about some things. We have gold price imploding today. We passed right through that support level of 575 on the gold price, and we're heading down to the 200-day moving average on that particular commodity. Now, as I've told you before, the economy is in trouble. We do have an inverted yield curve that has developed over the last few weeks. We do have other imbalances such as record levels of fiscal debt on the government side, record printing that is not even being monitored anymore. Our M3 is not being monitored, negative savings rate, and personal income, personal debt levels that if you do the math on them, they're frightening, unbelievable. To add all that up together, and then start looking at the number of bankruptcies, which people these days can't even legitimately write off because of the changes in the bankruptcy law. You look at a economy that is going to, who knows what's going to happen to it, but it's not good. We've got some inflation in the pipeline. We've got a stagnant growth rate starting. We've got problems with the both the PPI and the CPI, which is the producer price index and the consumer price index, which means, and I don't think either one of those indexes do a good job of measuring inflation in the pipeline at all. But I think it underestimates the impact on the population of what the price rises are really happening. And I think a lot more of that's going to get fed in, especially if they continue on with the Iranian debacle that has begun. So when you take the whole thing in its aggregate, what you find is that things are getting really, really precarious. And I try to stay away from technical explanations on some of these things because, frankly, most of my listeners want to know the direction of things and they want an explanation of how it's going to happen, but maybe they don't want to sit through an economics lesson or a marginal propensity to consume lesson or anything like that. I would rather give you guys an idea of what I see. And I think the sentiments that I put up on the website, that they come from several different areas. Many of them are fun to read and not very technical. If you'd like more technical information, it is available. The Kitco people put a plethora of information up about finances, about gold. You can get a lot of different opinions up there. There are other websites to find a good analysis of what people think about the finances. You know, it is possible that the financial situation in the United States can stay afloat for a longer period than it already has by cash injections, by manipulation of the foreign exchange rates by direct foreign investment coming in from other places and then going back out again, which is a possibility. A lot of it can be coming into the country as a stage to set up companies to move out. America's doing very little producing anymore. And what we do find is an increase in government jobs. We find universities are expanding their job base. But basically, what we produce is shrinking. We are not a manufacturing nation anymore. That has been going downhill since the late 1970s. And much of what we consume today is imported, and that's why the huge imbalances. And we don't get to use as much of our, it's not necessarily seniorage, but what happens when you are the world's reserve currency, you get to have your dollars dispersed worldwide, and as inflation eats away at those dollars, you get the benefit from it in your treasury. There are other things that you get benefits from other than that, but that's one of the ways, and you'll notice that many countries right now are setting up alternate systems to the American dollar. The Russians are doing it. The Iranians are talking about it, and they're probably trying to put something on paper right now. They're working at it right now. And the Venezuelans are talking about it. And the Chinese are becoming more and more reluctant to purchase our future debt. And so when you take all of these things together, one needs wonder how long they're going to be able to keep the eggs in the air without one of them dropping. And I've been guesstimating on my own here and thinking that September, October would be my guess that things are going to get more difficult than they are right now. You know, I know many of you out there are financial experts. Steve, you're one of them. I read your email, and I do understand the nuances of these subjects, but I don't want to make this about technical things, and I don't want to put what I'm guessing about in stone either. It just seems to me that this thing, from a financial standpoint and a geopolitical standpoint, can't stay afloat the way it is. And well, whether it will be a severe recession or a downright depression is what's being debated by the experts. Now, I don't think either of those are going to be really a good description of what's going to happen. I think much of the problems that the world's going to face are going to be precipitated by finance, but I think it's going to take a political bent very quickly after. And, you know, they would not be building FEMA centers across America for no reason. And, of course, we knew, and it's been described in the past about them wanting a North American Union. Everyone's known this. You see some things coming out on what really happened today about this North American Union. But, you know, these people are extra-governmental. They are no longer working through the Congress. They are no longer even applying the laws of the land to their actions. And so what are we going to do about it? Well, it doesn't seem like much outcry has come as a result of what's already happened, and we wouldn't really know, based on the mainstream press, whether people are furious about this stuff in the first place. We have to really gauge our efforts by the amount of attention we've been able to garner from different, you know, different hits. And if that's one of the gauges, we've been doing quite well. Our numbers are actually up over the last couple of weeks, in fact. And you know, I'm still getting a lot of angry mail about the white only group. I don't really, you know, care about what they think, to be honest with you. And I do want them out of the work we're doing. I don't want them with us. You know, I've got people saying that my wife is an African American or some other color. I don't even say if it specifies, but. And it wouldn't matter whether she was or not, but you know, the stuff that's coming out of some people are really, really astonishing. Whether or not this interests the rest of my listeners is neither here nor there. But you know, there are people who do know me, so the stuff that is people worried about, you know, me being a non-person, it's just nonsense. But you know, this is really about what we've been able to put together, Eric and I, through hard work. We find information throughout the world. We attempt through relationships that we've built to put information on our site through research, through connecting the dots. And we hope that it bears out over time. Now, you know, that this Ralph Schoenman guy, some people are supporting his efforts. Now, like, this is coming from somebody who doesn't believe the ADL is a threat to America, or that the AIPAC doesn't control our Congress and our, well, this is what his partner thinks anyway. I don't know what Ralph thinks. I do want him to come on because he claims to be a fighter of Zionism. Now, how could that possibly be when the two most powerful organs of the Zionist movement in America are denied by the people that, or by him? So it doesn't make any sense to me. But, yeah, don't make any sense. Anyway, and so we need, you know, we need to maybe motivate him. I'd love to have him on, you know. I want to see what he thinks about some of this nonsense. And, you know, we'll have to hope that he accepts the invitation so that we can discuss those particular subjects. But, you know, much of what happens is not actually only by the Jews going on. I mean, of course, you know that all Jews aren't involved in this. We know that. We've seen that this is a group of people, and moreover, a group of very wealthy people from the Jewish faith who are involved in much of the problem creating in the world. But they've got their wealthy helpers around the world. They really do. And but if you go to the top of the pyramid, if you go all the way up to the top, it's only them. That's it. Once you get past the Bilderberg group, it's only them. So everybody's thinking the Bilderbergers run the world. Well, you're wrong. They're the henchmen for the people who run the world. And when you get to that level, beyond the Bilderberger group, you find only Zionist Jews involved. And they are the masterminds behind all of the world's, oh boy, all of the nightmares that we're going to face and all the ones we've already faced, if you want to know the truth. So, today we're going to discuss how their media has been trying to, well, they've actually done a job on Christianity is what they've done with this Da Vinci Code. It really is doesn't have any basis in Christian doctrine. And we've got Ted Pye coming on to talk about that, as well as some other subjects. And hopefully it'll be a lively discussion, and I hope that Ted brings his game face, because we got lots of other things to talk about with Ted as well. But I thought it would be important for you to know about this gold situation. It's down at 560 right now, and I believe the next inflection point for your interest is around the 540 area. And generally it will go past that just a little bit during the daytime trading, but it'll close higher. And 540 represents the 200-day moving average, or thereabouts. And that will be a serious reversal point when we get there. Now, whether we get there tomorrow or the next day or in the overnight trade of the metal, it is going to reverse, and it's going to set itself up for another charge higher. Now, these falls in gold always take place. Nothing is linear, ladies and gentlemen. When things mount at the rate gold did in the past couple of months, they are destined to have a hard fall. It is just the way markets move. Now, there are also forces that are out there trying to manipulate the price of gold. They're doing it with this leased gold market that has, well, when you look into leased gold, there's a whole nightmare behind that whole the Federal Reserve taking gold out of its vaults and leasing it out, and then selling gold out of the vaults and then not registering that it's even been taken. If you go to the website, we've got an article about that where it says $5,000 gold soon. You can read that. Let these gentlemen explain it to you. Some of them are from Princeton, others are from Cornell, and so we've got some Oxford people involved in that movement. So there's a lot of people there who've done a lot of work on that subject, so you can find out more information about that. But ultimately, gold is going to prevail, because it always has, and it's within in, it's in your best interest to take a look at what these men are saying and also take a look at some of the inflection points that I'm talking about. That 540 price is probably a real sign that you need to be getting back into gold in a very, very big way. If you haven't already done it, it's an opportunity for you out there who have not bought the precious metal yet. And have wished that you had a better price on it. Well, it's not going to ever be better than the price that's coming. So, in a few minutes, we've got Ted Pike, and maybe we can talk about revolution with Ted. You know, we've got a big fight ahead of us, and let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, Ted Pike. We'll be right back.